much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadism.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 934 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. And before I tell you all about what's going on this week, I'm going to tell you that we're proud to be sponsored by the patron Dreadites. Patreon.com/DreadMedia is the best way to support the show. For as little as a dollar a month, that's 25 cents an episode, you can support the show, set it, forget it. Makes me happy, makes you happy, the world turns. Lovely. That's it. Patreon.com/DreadMedia. Thank you to everyone who supports the show. I really appreciate it. So we've got a bit of an episode this week, sort of a video game themed, not really, sort of, kind of. Look, I'm just finding a way to talk about this book that I just finished. And yeah, you've heard a lot about David Agronoff's books on this podcast. So, yeah, it should surprise you not at all that I'm talking about another one. David Agronoff's brand new book, available now, Great America in Dead World. It's a little different than the stuff that, that David has been putting out. And I haven't even talked to David about this at this point, but I just finished reading the book and came down to my office to record the intro and outro and the top five for this episode. So this is not a review. This is just me saying, hey, read this fucking book. Okay. It's really fucking good. Again, a little different from the stuff that David's done previously. This is a book written on Philip K. Dick's formula. And we know that David is a huge Philip K. Dick scholar. And I think this is the first time someone has... maybe Ron Goulart used it. I didn't look into that. But David took the template for Philip K. Dick and channeled it into this book, Great America in Dead World. And I still think there's a raging punk rock heartbeat at the center of this novel. I don't think David Agronoff will ever be able to escape. And it's why I love his writing. Partially why, you know, it's one of the reasons why, I guess I should say, I like his writing. But look, this is so, so good. Nondescript near future. Most people are living in a virtual reality world called Great America. And some people can afford it. Others have to bust their ass to you know, pay to have the advertisements that pop up in their augmented eyeballs go away. You know, I said this on Facebook. This is and not blatantly on Facebook. In my book group, I said this is both like a terrifying vision of the future, and also a warning about the present. I ripped through this book. So fucking good. Man, it's really good. And also, and if you're like, the Philip K. Dick formula, what does that mean? There's a whole, like, afterword epilogue. Those are not right. Those are parts of stories. A whole, like, section of the book at the end that describes the formula from a letter that Philip K. Dick wrote himself to young pulp writer Ron Goulart, who I know mostly as... a guy who makes sexy softcore horror movies and the Vampirella novels. that's my entire conception of Ron Goulart. But yeah, great book. Check it out. Great America in Dead World. Great America in Dead World by David Agronoff. You will not be disappointed. Right. So I mentioned video games. What are we talking about this week? This week, Tom DJ and I are talking about a documentary, another documentary about a movie that was never made. In particular, it is George A. Romero's Resident Evil. Yes, at one point, George A. Romero was tapped to adapt Resident Evil from a video game to a feature film. And this documentary is all about it. Highly recommend you listen to the review before you spend the time watching the movie, which is available for free on YouTube. So there you go. Check it out. George A. Romero's Resident Evil coming up right after this song. But first, I'll say also that we're going to do a Dread Media Top 5. I didn't want to do another Dread Media Top 5 unmade movies because I feel like I did that like a month ago. It was probably 4 months ago, but that's how my brain works in time. Instead, I'm going to go way, way back. I may have actually done this top five before. I don't necessarily think so, but way, way back. I'm talking first or second year of Dread Media. I got together with Brother D from Mail Order Zombie. Of course, Derek Cook. And we did a Dread Media episode on George A. Romero's non-of the dead films. So I thought that I would do my personal Dread Media top five non-zombie Romero films. So you've got that to look forward to. Got some songs to play from the Resident Evil movie soundtrack, the soundtrack for the movie that actually did get made, not by George Romero, and some other tunes to play as well. So we're going to get right to that right after we listen to a song from that aforementioned Resident Evil soundtrack. This is from the new metal, Latin groove metal band Il Nino, not El Nino, Ill as in sick Nino. And this is, their song, What Comes Around, Day of the Dead Mix. So you can probably understand why I picked it to play for this episode. Okay, here it is, that song, What Comes Around, Day of the Dead Mix by Il Nino. And then we're going to talk about George A. Romero's doomed version of Resident Evil. Let's go.
We'll be right back. I see uncorked, we meet again. I swear to you, the moment I saw that uncorked logo on this film, I almost immediately jumped up and turned off the TV set.
I wouldn't have blamed you had you done so. Because but, I did not enjoy this in the slightest. And I know you feel differently.
Oh, no, no. Well, no, I have a lot of problems with this film because my general thought about the film we're about to talk about, which is a documentary by Brandon Salisbury, written by Robbie McGregor and Brandon Salisbury. Robbie McGregor. That is the most Scottish name
pretty
I can
Scottish
think of.
Name. It's a pretty Scottish
yes.
name.
Yes. But we're talking about the documentary that is probably coming to a dollar store near you any day now.
I'm surprised it already hasn't come to the special features of a DVD near you lately.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like. Sorry, continue.
It's George A. Romero's Resident Evil, which purports to be the story behind the confirmed time when George Romero almost did the first Resident Evil movie.
Were those air quotes that I heard around?
No, it's a definite fact. We knew he was going to do it, and then he wasn't.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, one of my very favorite documentaries, and I mean, like, of all time, is Yoderowski's Dune. Mm-hmm. I love exploring the versions of things, you know, that didn't get made. Actually, what I am looking at right now is a copy of Underexposed, the 50 greatest movies never made.
Right.
And I can't remember if George A. Romero's Resident Evil is in that one.
Well, there seems to have been in the last 10 years a kind of trend among documentary filmmakers to make movies about big name coulda, shoulda films.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the one about Superman Reborn.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what it's called. Superman, the Nicolas Cage. There's one about, in fact.
Is that the one with Kevin Smith?
Yes, Kevin Smith
right.
Is that not just called
The Life and Death of Superman?
Well, that's what the documentary is called, but I think that the movie was supposed to be called.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
You know, and there is also a documentary out there about the Fantastic Four film that nobody was supposed to see.
Yeah.
But probably more people have seen than either of the two Fox films put together.
That's probably true. That's talk about like popular, you know, VHS bootleg sales for the past the past 30 odd years and of course DVR copies, right? There's been a table at every fan convention for probably 30 years selling copies of Roger Corman's Fantastic Four. Doomed is a great documentary, and I think if you buy it on Blu-ray, it comes with the Fantastic Four movie.
Right. I think I read somewhere that Fantastic Four film is the second most purchased bootleg behind the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. I was just thinking, like, what would beat it? But yeah, that makes sense.
And I bring up Doomed and that Fantastic Four film because, of course, it also involved one of the villains in this film, another one of our greatest, yes, Constantine films, but yeah. Another one of our greatest nemesis.
Yeah. the creators of the Resident Evil franchise.
Yes. Which we went through, several years ago.
A couple years back. Yep.
And I still have dreams of zombie crows pecking my eyes.
Not, or wishing they had before you watch the movie, yeah. Perhaps. Yeah.
Not as I would have thought, I would have dreams of an army of Mila Jovoviches laying siege to the White House right now.
Right.
You know. Anyway, so this is a documentary.
Yeah.
It's way long.
It's very long. Almost 2 hours.
And one of the reasons it's very long, which I think is one of its biggest drawbacks, is that first we're going to tell you who George A. Romero is.
Yeah, yeah. And they almost go film by film, for God's sake.
Yeah! Now we're going to tell you what Resident Evil is.
Yeah. Look, so, like, half an hour into this movie, my oldest walked into the room. He's like, "Hey, what are you watching?" And I'm like, it's a documentary about, a movie version of Resident Evil that didn't get made. And he's like, "Oh, how is it?" And I was like, "I don't know yet, because we haven't talked about Resident Evil yet."
Brandon Salisbury.
Yeah.
Come here. Come close.
No, you know what the problem with this is?
What?
The problem is that this movie never existed. There's no finished element. Like, here's the thing. Yoderowski's Dune, they created, like, a single volume encyclopedia of art references and character work and snippets of screenplays and sent it to every studio. This big book exists of visual artifacts for the movie that never existed.
Right.
There is literally one character design in this entire movie.
It's
Bernie Wrightson's character design, which
is
cool.
There is a maquette.
Yeah.
And there is a script. And that's
right, but it's not even a finished script.
Yeah.
Right.
The biggest problem with, first off, like I said, come here, Brandon. I got some advice for you. I know you listen. I have some advice for you. If you're doing a documentary called George A. Romero's Resident Evil, the majority of people who will be interested in watching your documentary know who George A. Romero is.
Yes.
And know who what Resident Evil is.
Yes.
And don't want to wait an hour.
Yeah.
To get to where the two of them mesh together.
Which gets back to my point, in that there's not enough here for a documentary. Way back in the day, George A. Romero made a commercial.
Yeah.
Right? He made a commercial for, what's it called? Biohazard, right?
I remember being
I think it was Biohazard 2, actually, is what it was for, yeah.
I remember being at a Fangoria convention where they first showed this to New Yorkers.
The Biohazard ad? Or the short film or whatever
ad,
it was? Yeah.
And then saying, "And George is going to be doing the movie," and everybody going crazy. I think this is the same con where I got to meet our friend from Spain, Paul Nashi.
Oh, right on.
And this two-hour-long film, maybe 40 minutes of it, is actually about the subject.
Yeah.
That is the biggest problem. Particularly, like I said, that hour is like, okay, yes, I know all about the crazies, and I know all about Martin. I know all about this.
Yeah.
What about this thing? And, I'm sure that the guy who runs the George A. Romero archive is a very nice man. But get to the monkey.
Yeah, like, the talking heads are not very compelling. Now, like, and I think part of that is just this movie was just made too late. You got Bernie Wrightson's son. Like, no offense, Bernie Wrightson is, like, one of my all-time favorite artists, period. But I really don't give a shit what his son thinks about a movie that never got made, that he created one art piece for. I don't. And then these guys, they know a lot about George A. Romero, but they're not very compelling storytellers. Like,
yeah.
Give me the documentary where George A. Romero himself is actually going, you know, step by step through what happened in the making of, or the attempted making of this movie. And I think you might have a lot more compelling of a film. And also, if you got Bernie Wrights in there talking about it, you've got a compelling film. But since you don't have either of those guys, or whoever, the Japanese guy that created the video game.
Yeah.
Get him in there more. Like, clearly they were involved, right? But, like, it's just people talking about this from the outside who don't actually have any, you know, like, knowledge about what was happening back then other than hearsay. So you're just hearing guys saying, oh, and this is where the screenwriter was fired and George himself took over the script. And it's just like, okay, but why? Like, there's nothing
and
compelling here.
They don't even give us anything new. They give us excerpts from a podcast review.
Yes,
of
right.
the script.
Right, right. Yeah, just a failure across the board in my opinion. If this was, if this was a special feature on, you know, that Blu-ray set with the seven Resident or whatever, however many there are there seven.
At this point, there are now seven, if you don't count any of the animated features.
Yeah, there's a couple. Well, there's a couple also. Yeah, there's like three of those. And then there's like a couple animated series at this point.
And
a live action, right? Is the live action one out?
Yes, a television series. Yes.
See, that's weird. I have Netflix, and I go to Netflix multiple times a week, but I have yet to see those advertised to me, which is strange.
But, and I hate to break it to you, but yet another reboot is coming.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. But if this was a special feature on you know, the Resident Evil Blu-ray or whatever, or, I don't know, a special feature on the disc for the next Resident Evil game or something,
it
would be a lot more acceptable. But as a primary piece of entertainment, this is dog shit.
Oh, yeah. You know, but you know who else I could have done without hearing from? The guy who played Chris Redfield in the first film's cutscenes.
Right.
You know, it's like...
Like the advertisements cut. Yeah, the short film, you mean.
No. I mean the guy who... Because you remember, the first Resident Evil, when it was in the cabinets, had cinematic cutscenes in it.
Oh, right. Yeah, that... Yeah, what's
and
that guy doing there?
And they interviewed that guy, and I'm like, you have nothing to... You're nowhere. You're in another country.
Yeah.
From the subject of this film. Why are we talking to you?
Oh dear. Yeah. Just honestly, I just think it's misguided.
I mean, the only thing this did is it made me want to check out that guy's podcast.
Right.
It's there are ways to do this type of film. You mentioned Jodorowsky's Dune. You mentioned Doomed. But part of that is because there are interesting stories.
Right.
Behind, especially Doomed. Doomed is a...
Well, Doomed, I mean, they made the movie. I mean, that's part of how crazy the story is, that they made the movie and never released it.
But there's... The story here boils down to this. George Romero was asked to direct an advertisement. He had fun doing it, said he'd be willing to do a movie, wrote a script for a movie.
Everyone realized he'd never played the game before.
although it was mentioned he had somebody play the entire game.
For him, while he watched. Yeah, it was... he recorded his entire... Well, that's got to be a lot of footage.
And I got to admit, judging from the summary of the script, it would have been a gory, gory-ass movie.
Right. But there is some quote where he's saying... I don't know if it was Romero. I think it actually was someone from Constantine Films. mm-hmm. that was saying, you know, there's going to be the theatrical movie, but there's also going to be the unrated cut.
Right.
And they they were putting that in the margins for like the plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'm sorry, if your story is a guy wanted to make a movie, he wrote a script, and then the people who wanted to make the movie with him said, nah, that's not worth a documentary.
No, that's like every single person's experience in Hollywood is what,
yeah.
is what that is. Somebody gets a meeting, somebody writes a script, somebody says no. That happens every day, all day in Hollywood, and has for like 100 years.
I mean, we wouldn't have the, what was it, it's the black table reads?
The blacklist.
The blacklist. We wouldn't have that if it wasn't for the fact that this goes on every day. Yeah. This is not interesting. This is not like there was this crazy producer who wanted to do a comic book film and didn't understand anything about the character.
Yeah.
And he had a director who really didn't care about the character and a writer who did care about the character.
And a producer who really wanted a giant mechanical spider.
Spider, yeah, that's what I'm saying. a psychotic producer, and they all ruined this film. This is just, wow, this is a film I would have loved to have seen.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there has to be some drama involved to make a documentary about an unmade movie. Or a shelved movie. There has to be some drama. And like I'm saying, like without Georgie Romero,
yeah.
Can't even speak. Without Romero himself, making this movie is misguided. Now I'm not saying that even if he was there telling you the story all the way along, that it would be necessarily entertaining, because again, it never got past the script stages.
Yeah. Now, if let's say,
just to go on about that actually for a second, Tom, just for a second to go on with that, talking about that. I mean, one of my very favorite podcasts, The Best Movies Never Made. They like part of their podcast is going through these scripts and like reading out segments of the scripts along. But here's the thing. When they cover Resident Evil, they're going to cover all of the versions of Resident Evil that never got made. So,
right.
Like, they might do 2 Resident Evil episodes, and about half of one is going to be focused on the Romero thing, right? So,
yeah.
Like, even the podcast doesn't have a full episode dedicated to this movie, right?
I mean, this story it's not like, let's say, John Russo popped up with an alternate script.
You know what's wild about you saying that?
What?
I got a Facebook message from John Russo, like, yesterday.
Okay.
I definitely unintentional.
Okay.
But it was, hold on, I'm bringing it up. Yeah, it's like my fourth message in my Messenger app. I'll be at this great event April 26th. Please join me. And it's a live R&B, pop, and soul concert with DJ and dancing. I don't know if he got hacked, but...
yeah, it must have been.
He certainly did. If he didn't get hacked, he certainly did not meant to send it to me. So, but that's very weird. I was standing in the kitchen and I'm like, this is weird. And Stacy's like, what? And I'm like, the screenwriter from Night of the Living Dead just messaged me. And she's like, oh, that's exciting. And I'm like, no, it's not. I don't understand this. I think he's inviting me to a soul music concert.
DJ stops and John Russo says, okay, now I'm going to tell you what I really wanted the sequel for Night of the Living Dead to be.
I've told my John A. Russo story, I think, on this podcast before. Yeah. I interviewed him for this podcast. And yet, while I was there waiting to interview him, these people they had like a camera, were interviewing him, and they were like very belligerent and gotcha style people.
Oh God.
And he's like, no, I'm not talking to you anymore. You get the hell away from me. Get the fuck away from me. And I'm like, oh no. Right. And then he's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I was hoping I could talk to you for my podcast, Mr. Russo. You know, so.
Oh God.
Yeah. That was my experience meeting John A. Russo. A totally lovely man. I understand 100% of why he was pissed off because those people were assholes. I don't even think they were like fans. I think they were just there to piss people off. But yeah, so that kind of soured my interview with John A. Russo.
Yeah. This is a piss poor film.
Yes.
This is a 1.5.
I'm going to go 1 on this one.
Okay.
This has no reason to be made, in my opinion.
There's no new information.
No. And half of it is just Wikipedia shit.
Yeah. I mean,
George A. Romero directed Night of the Living Dead, and then they talk about Night of the Living Dead for 5 minutes. And then in 1978, they went to the Monroeville Mall, and they made Dawn of the Dead. It's like, oh my God, how much longer? Surely we go through the entire career, and then the entire existence of Resident Evil.
Now, if, let's say they said, and here are the never-before-seen storyboards that George worked out based on his, that would be interesting.
It would be something.
Yeah.
It would be something.
Anyway, fuck this movie.
Yeah, this movie sucks.
You know what doesn't suck?
The sprites?
Yes.
Okay.
The sprites were a pioneer of a little-known rock music genre called twee pop.
Oh, okay. I would say these guys were pop rock, but twee pop is what they're called, hey? Okay.
They're twee pop is part of pop rock.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know, they wrote an entire song about George Romero.
Yeah. I've played it on the show before.
And it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's a fun little tune.
They're not the best twee poppers. I would still say that's the corner laughers. But
I've never even heard of them before.
They did a version of R. Kelly's, you know,
Hot
and Fresh Off the Kitchen. You know what song I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mama rolling that body got every... Yeah, there you go.
They did... The corner laughers did a version of an Ignition Remix, which they have since taken off their website. For obvious reasons.
Nah, I don't know. You could put your own spin on any song you want.
But it was great.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I used to, that was one of my go-to songs for karaoke.
Ignition.
Ignition Remix.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay. Yeah, Remix, right. Right.
Yeah.
Does the original even exist?
Oh, yeah, it does. It's
okay.
That the Remix was the one that
the
that
Remix
made
was the hit. Yeah. The crazy. Man,
you know
the
how
90s.
Much we love this movie that we're busy talking about.
Guys, you should have been there in the 90s. I know we all scoffed in Matrix when I believe it was Morpheus who says that Western society peaked in 1999, and we all laughed. And now here we are, 26 years later, knowing that Morpheus was right.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, here are the sprites and George Romero. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
And sorry, Uncle George.
Yeah.
Shopping mall, I wouldn't care about the isolation. than hiding over JCPenney. Construct a wall to keep the mutants out. When it's the end of the world, we land a helicopter on the rooftop. Somebody breaks in through a boarded entrance. Maybe we could make a run for it. I know all I need to know. I learned everything from George Romero, Dario Argento, maybe Tom Savini, Stuart Gordon, and Sam Raimi. Did they plant the idea, or was it always in me? Do you find me creepy? Now it's the end of the world. I always thought I would have been more careful. Didn't look to be a serious spy. I learned everything from George Romero, Dario Argento, maybe Tom Savini, Stuart Gordon, and Sam Raimi. Did they plant the idea, or was it always in me? Do you find me creepy? Post-apocalyptic zombie survival fantasy.
I've been thinking, maybe we got a good thing going in. Maybe we shouldn't be in such a hurry to leave.
And since I'm recording these segments that are not the main feature review, I did not just listen to George Romero by the Sprites, because surely I would not be able to get through a Dread Media top five with that song stuck in my head. I will leave that for later this evening when I compile this episode. It's Wednesday evening. Patron Dreadites are getting this tonight. So here we go. We're back for another...
Dread Media Top 5.
That's right, another Dread Media Top 5. This time we're taking a look at the Dread Media Top 5 non-zombie George A. Romero films. And this Top 5 is not in a necessarily particular order. It's going to begin and end with some wild cards. So I'm going to start with one of those wild cards. Number five is George A. Romero's adaptation of a Stephen King novel from 1993, The Dark Half, starring Timothy Hutton. Apparently this is on Tubi, so I definitely need to rewatch it. I haven't seen this since probably 1993, to be fair. So don't take my word for it, but it's kind of a fun story. It's focused on a writer, shocker, it's a Stephen King novel, who is, you know, basically being taken over by another persona. And we've seen this before, but honestly, I think like The Dark Half, like by the way, like Secret Window, right? What's that? Secret Gardens? Secret Window, Secret Garden? Is that the name of the novella it's based on? The Stephen King novella? The Johnny Depp movie, Secret Window, I think it's called. It's another similar vibe, but this one's not goofy and doesn't have Johnny Depp in it. So that's a step up in quality, in my opinion. And it's got a cool car and a wild explanation. So there you go. Number five, The Dark Half, is on Tubi. I'm going to check that out. Tubi and other stuff. What else is it on? Prime, Tubi, and then, it might not be on my Prime. That might be American Prime, but there you go. You Yanks in your Prime. Prime and Tubi, check it out. The Dark Half. Number four is arguably the most unique film in George A. Romero's catalog. It is a an action romance thriller. It's not really a thriller. It's action romance drama, I guess. Oh, IMDb calls it a period drama, but it's not a period drama. So weird. I'm talking about Knight Riders with a K. Knight Riders, one word, which focuses on a troupe of traveling performers who perform, like, you know, medieval jousting and stuff, but, like, on motorbikes. And it stars the incredible Ed Harris. Not the first time Ed Harris will be on this list. Ooh, spoiler. And Tom Savini and many, many others. Patricia Tallman's in this. And it's funny. Like, in my opinion, probably best known for starring in the 1990 Tom Savini remake of Night of the Living Dead. Of course, another George A. Romero film, but we're not talking about those. We're talking about the non-zombie ones. And Knight Rider's fucking rules. And apparently it's on Tubi too. And Fossum. If anyone's ever checked out Fossum, let me know. I have not. But Knight Rider's kicks ass. Number three is not a zombie movie. Is it even a vampire movie? It's about a guy who believes he's a vampire. I would argue this is perhaps Romero's most stylish film. It's got like a really raw aspect to it. An incredible performance by John Amplis. Tom Savini is in this one as well. Martin just kicks ass, 100%. Just a fantastic, unique horror film. There are very few movies that come close to being this sort of offbeat and weird. And yeah, 1977's Martin takes the cake at number three. Number two, I mentioned that I would bring up Ed Harris's name once again, and here we are. He is one among many in this cast. I'm just going to read a couple. Hal Holbrook, Leslie Nielsen, Adrienne Barbeau, E.G. Marshall, Ted Danson, John Amplis, again, from Martin, and Stephen King as Geordie Verrill in Creepshow. Look, this, if I was doing, like, an order of quality, Creepshow would have to be number one. It's definitely set the tone for what a successful horror anthology film is, and it continues to set that tone, so very few films actually reach the quality of Creepshow. Creepshow is beautiful. It harkens back to the EC comics. It's over the top. It's funny. It's absurd. It's wild. It's creepy. It's so fucking good. Creepshow rules. But here I am on a horror podcast in 2025 recommending Creepshow. You must have seen Creepshow, everybody. See Creepshow if you haven't. Jesus. It's on Shudder. And, I mean, you could probably buy a DVD of Creepshow for Walmart for $5. So, no excuse, guys. Creepshow fucking rules. Leaving us to number one. I can't remember if this was if this was the first or among the first movies that George A. Romero shot in Canada. I think it was. Oh, was The Dark Half shot in Canada? I don't think so. By Canada, I mean Toronto. I don't think he ever filmed anywhere else. Where is that? Where is The Dark Half filmed? Yeah, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Like, basically everything he did up until he filmed, you know, the movie that is probably least well-known amongst his filmography. I'm talking about a really fun movie that actually I was about 10,000 words into a novel work in progress before I realized it was super influenced by Bruiser. In Bruiser, a man who has been trampled by the world. Okay, so look at Bruiser this way. Bruiser is basically falling down, except instead of snapping, one day the guy wakes up and he has like a blank face mask attached to his face. And then all of a sudden he starts to get what's his in life. It's, you know, simple story, great central performance by Jason Fleming. Tom Atkins is in this one as well, but the real star of Bruiser, in my opinion, is, of course, one of my all-time favorite actors playing one of my all-time favorite horror movie villains, and that is Peter Stormare in Bruiser. Holy shit, this movie's really fun. I don't know about this one. You can rent it on Amazon, I think. It says rent or buy, so maybe you can buy a DVD of Bruiser. I don't even have one, so I think maybe I should pick this up because I really do need to rewatch Bruiser from 2000. This, I believe, was his first film shot in Canada. So there you go. Bruiser is solid. I really enjoy it, and I think you guys would too. So there you go. There's my Dread Media top 5 non-zombie George A. Romero films. And speaking of Toronto and speaking of Bruiser, the Misfits actually feature in Bruiser in a short scene. It's one of those fun. This is a 2000 film, but as we know quite well, 2000 is still the 90s. And there's no such thing as a 90s horror film without a club scene with a metal, punk, or industrial band on stage. And this episode, this film has the Misfits, the classic The Misfits. And part of, I think it must have been filmed at the same time, because the Misfits were there. And George A. Romero filmed the music video for this song by the Misfits. So you could either skip this song and head over to YouTube and watch the music video, or just listen to the song and then go over to YouTube and watch the music video directed by the late, great George A. Romero. Uncle George, definitely missed in this day and age. And we're going to get out of here with Scream by the Misfits. Us, my friends, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. And if you did, you can support the show at patreon.com/dreadmedia for as little as a dollar a month. It helps us keep going. Thank you very much. You can send me an email. Hey, get your Q&A questions. There's a Q&A episode coming in like a month. I don't have any questions yet, so maybe the episode's not coming. Questions for the Q&A. dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. You can leave them in a comment or a message through Patreon, through Twitter, through Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Dread Media Facebook group. Maybe I'll post a question thread in the Facebook group. Instagram, @DreadMedia, all that stuff. You know, I'm messing up my usual spiel just by doing it weirdly, and that's what I'm doing. So deal with it. What's up next week? Not too sure. Kind of have an idea, but I'm not going to tell you about it. None of your business. We'll get there. Let's get the hell out of here. Yeah. Take care of yourselves. Take care of others. We'll see you next week. Here's another song from the Resident Evil soundtrack, and it's Rammstein and their song, Hallelujah.
Going to die down here.